just in tonight and sing a few choruses of this song, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow."
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. My life is worth the living just because He lives. Oh, because He lives. The living just because He lives.
Sing it one more time with all your heart.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Are gone. It's because I know, yes, I know He holds my future. Oh, my life is worth the living. Just because He lives.
Oh, let's give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Life is worth living because our Savior lives. Hey, He lives, He lives. Amen. Let's read a scripture here tonight. Psalms 91. Amen. Psalms 91. All that is going on around us, it's good to know that we have a place of protection. Amen. There's shelter in His arms. We can abide under the shadow of His wings. Amen. Know that we're safe from all of this. Amen. Here the Bible declares in Psalms 91, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." Amen. "He shall cover thee with His feathers, and and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Glory to God. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hand, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. The Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, we are blessed to be able to know that you are our shelter, that you are our strong tower, that you are our protection. Therefore, as the scripture says, we will not fear. Lord, though terror surrounds us, we won't fear. Amen. Because we have a confidence in you. Lord, we are your responsibility. Amen. You have promised, Lord, to be Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, Lord, Jehovah Tiskanu. Oh God, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Rohi. Oh God, Jehovah Shalom, you give us peace in the midst of the storm. Lord, we can, you are a strong tower. Your name is a strong tower. Right, just run in and we are safe, oh God. So Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can depend on you. We can trust you. Lord, we can rely on you. We can have confidence in you. Lord, your truth is our shield and our buckler. Lord, everything we need, we find in you. We find it in the word of God. So, Lord, as we just come tonight, amen, let us put our minds on you. Let us, Lord, just begin to think on you and just how good you've been to us, Lord, through this week. And, Lord, we just pray that you just meet us here in a special way. Lord, minister to our hearts tonight. Bless the saints that are here, those that are still on the way. Give traveling mercies to God, those that are unable to join us tonight. Look upon them as well. We're careful to give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Can we give the Lord another hand of praise? Praise the Lord. I have a maker, and he formed my heart. Before even time began, my life was in his hand. He does, and he knows my every thought, and he sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call.
so glad He'll never leave me. Oh, no matter where I go. Oh, He knows my name. Hallelujah. And He knows my every fall, and He sees each tear that falls, and He hears me, He hears me when I call. He knows my name, yes He does, oh, He knows my name, He knows my every thought, He knows my every thought, hallelujah, oh mine, and He sees each tear that falls, and He hears me when I call. Come on, sing it one more time. He knows my name, yes, He knows my name, He knows my every thought, knows my head. Oh, He sees each tear, He sees each tear that falls, and He hears me when I call. I know He does, He hears me when I call. Oh, He hears me when I call. Hallelujah.
Don't you be afraid. Joy comes in the morning, and troubles they don't last always. Remember, there's a friend in Jesus who'll wipe your tears away. And when your heart is broken, oh, just lift your hands and say, yeah, I know that I can make it. Oh, I know that I can stand. No matter what may come my way, yes, my life is in your hands. Oh, so in your test, in trials, they seem to get you down. Oh, and all your friends and loved ones are nowhere to be found. Remember, there's a friend in Jesus, and who will wipe your tears away. Hallelujah. Oh, and when your heart is broken, you can lift your hands and say, yes, I know that I can make it. Hallelujah. I know that I can stand. Oh, no matter what may come my way, you see my life. I know that I can make it. I know that I Hallelujah. Yes, I know. Oh, no matter what may come my way, my life. Hallelujah. I know that I can make it. I know that I can make it. Yes, I can. Oh, I know. No matter what may come my way, my life. Hallelujah. Oh, with Jesus I can take it. With Jesus I can take. With him I know. With him. No matter what may come my way, my life is in. With Jesus I can take it. With Jesus. With him I know. Oh, My life is in your hands. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. We worship you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise his holy name. Amen. Just, we have a prayer request. Sister Dixon says, please continue to keep Sister Dixon in prayer. She should be coming home tomorrow. Amen. She had to go to the hospital there and everything. They were some fluid there that they got rid of, as well as just some tests that she had to take, but she's supposed to be coming home tomorrow. I had a chance to go visit her early this week, and we just had a real good time of fellowship, and just reminding her of the promises that God gave her. And if God's given you a promise, you hold on with everything you got, and you don't let the devil take it from you. Amen. And, just a real, real good time of fellowship. And we just want to remember her in prayer. We'll do that tonight. So you can be seated. Amen. We'll prepare for tonight's offering. Amen. And we thank the Lord for all things. Thank God for bringing us through another week. Amen. Just appreciate his protection. Appreciate his provision. Amen. Appreciate his word, amen, that we can have confidence in what he says. And I was telling somebody this week, I said, what you need to do is just remind God of what he said in his word when you're praying, and amen, and just believing, amen, just remind him of what he said. He said, it shall not come nigh your dwelling. And if that's what he said, then that's what you believe. Amen, you just apply that to your life. Amen, let's just pray. Father, we want to remember our precious Sister Dixon. Lord, thank you for watching over her while she's been there in the hospital. Lord, just allowing the doctors and the nurses to provide her the proper care. And Lord, as she is preparing to exit the hospital, we pray, Lord, that you would just go with her, that you would just strengthen her. And again, we bind every germ, Lord, that would try to attack her even while she's there. We bind it. We pray, God, that you'd be a covering and a protection.
protection to her, Lord, even during this time. We know, Lord Jesus, that the enemy comes in like a flood, but the Spirit of God is to raise a standard against the enemy. So we thank you, Lord, for raising that standard. Thank you for touching her. Thank you for watching over her, protecting her, and keeping her. And God, we just pray tonight as we come to give from our hearts, ask that you would use this for the furthest of your kingdom. Thank you for meeting the needs of your people. Thank you for meeting the needs of this church. Thank you for providing work to the people, God. Lord, we are facing some uncertain times. And Lord, people don't know what's going to happen, but one thing we do know is that you will provide. Yes. That's one thing we do know. And we know that our jobs are just a resource. Yes. But our source, amen, is you, oh God. The Bible says, we look to the hills from which cometh our help. All our help comes from the Lord. So you are our source. We declare that. And Father, we just know somehow, some way, you will open doors we can't see and provide in ways that go beyond expectation. We got confidence in you. So Lord, we just pray that as we give tonight, that you would use this for the furtherance of your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand, no matter what may come my way. My life is in your hands. Oh, I know that I can make it. Oh, yes, I do. I know that I can stand. Well, no matter what you see, my life is in. I know that I can make it. I know that I can make it. Oh, yes, I do. I know. Hey, no matter what may come my way, yes, my life is in. With Jesus, I can take it. I can, with him I know, him I know, I can stand no matter what may come my way, no matter what may come my way, no matter what may come my way, oh, my life is in your hands. Oh, yes, it is. My life is in your hands. Oh, God, my life is in your hands. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be able to come to the house of the Lord in times like this. There's many churches that are being asked not to gather. They have more than 200 or 250 people in the assembly. They're being asked not to gather, and you know, we take it for granted that we have the opportunity to come and amen and fellowship one with the other, and you know, we don't know when things may change. The prophet actually told us that there'll come a time that they'll put padlocks on the doors and won't allow us to be able to come into the house of the Lord. And, you know, so we want to take advantage of the moments and, amen, the times that we have to come here to hear the word of God. And we don't want to just hear the word, but we want to be doers of the word of God. Amen. So we're blessed tonight. Amen. We're blessed to be able to come and, amen, and sit in his presence. Tonight we have precious brother, brother Ernie Villanueva, and I love his last name. Amen. He told me it just means new house. earn it. Villa Nueva, new house. And I'm believing God for a new house. Amen. A new house of worship. Amen. So I just believe that the Lord has sent my precious brother this way for this weekend. Amen. For such a time as this. And I'm trusting that we all come under expectation. I know he'll minister for us tonight, and he'll minister for us on Sunday morning. Amen. As long as the church doors remain open, we're going to keep having church. Amen. And if we grow to 250, then we might have. But that'll be a different issue, right? But we'll thank God for that. But he's coming to us from, amen, he lives in Washington, the state of Washington, goes to Brother Eddie Biscoe's church there in Vancouver. And he used to live here in Florida. And he say every time he come to Florida this time of year, he just start thinking, why did I leave Florida? Amen. But we thank God to have him coming our way tonight. So let's just stand, amen, and let's prepare to welcome him. Let's welcome my precious brother Ernie tonight as he comes just in his own special way. Amen. Well, we'll just sing a chorus of the song, Amazing Grace.
Seated just for a moment. I'd like to just make a couple of opening comments before we get to the word. And it's such a privilege to live in the days that we live in, and your pastor was highly recommended to me from Brother Jason Watkins and his family, and they told me that they couldn't believe that I was coming to Florida, and I had never been to Brother Jack's church, so this has all been predestinated, and my pastor, Brother Biscoe, has asked me to give special greetings. He's never met Brother Jack, but one day we're all going to be together, and this great supernatural journey that we're on right now, it's just beginning.
Amen.
And the wonderful thing about it, that throughout all of eternity, not for one second will you ever be bored. You're not going to say, oh, well, you know, here it goes again, or I've heard this before, or I've been here before. Oh, God is going to continue to be unfolding His greatness and His majesty throughout all of eternity. And I'm so thankful for that. I would like to start tonight, before I read the word, to give just a short exhortation, something that has always thrilled my soul, and the story of the rich young ruler. And you think about that man in the beginning of his life, had a great pedigree, so to speak. Rich, young, and a ruler. But the greatest thing that man had was the opportunity to come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he did, he asked a question. And he asked exactly the right question from the only one who could give him the perfect answer. He asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" The most important question any man or any woman can ever ask. And so Jesus beheld him, and he loved him, and he saw that money was going to become the god of the rich young ruler. And so he told him, "Go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and come and be my disciple." But the rich young ruler, he could not wrap his mind around what Jesus was saying, because all he was thinking was, "I'm going to give up my privilege and my wealth and my pleasure and become a homeless man." And so, like everybody else, the gospel will have one of three effects upon you. It will make you mad, or glad, or sad. And for the rich young ruler, it made him very sad. And he turned and walked away, but that was not the end of the rich young ruler, because through the eye of a prophet, we see him in torment, and he's able to see Abraham and Lazarus, and he cries out for a couple of drops of water on his tongue. But Abraham says, "No, can't do that. There's a great gulf fixed. You cannot come here, and he cannot go there." He said, "In life, you had everything. He had nothing. Now he has everything, and you have nothing." But the rich young ruler was not finished yet, because now he said, "Well, I have another plan. Let Lazarus mount a great evangelistic crusade and send him to my family and warn them that they don't come to this wicked place where I am." But Abraham said, "No, they have Moses, they have the law and the prophets, and if one rose from the dead, still they would not believe." Now we can look back in hindsight, and we can say, how could that rich young ruler have missed the only supernatural opportunity he was ever going to have in his life? But then I think of where we are. Our life, and we have a much more up-to-date invitation than the rich young ruler had, because we have 2,000 years of vindicated ministry, and at the end of that 2,000 years, we have had Elijah the prophet come, and Jesus himself has done more in the life of his prophet than is even recorded in the entire Bible. And we know not everything that Jesus said or done was recorded in the Bible, but what was recorded in the Bible, just in one meeting that this prophet had, Jesus Christ revealed himself more than at any time. And we have 1,200 supernatural miracles that God has given to us in the form of a message. Every one of them a masterpiece. And we're the first generation that has ever had the voice of a prophet on tape that we can listen to. Now, I want to just drop this in as a little thought. We know that Brother Branham was the voice that was going to come, the days of the voice of the seventh angel. When he begins to sound, all the mysteries will be revealed as he had declared to his prophet, the servant. Amen. Well, 1947, the first message Brother Branham ever spoke, faith is the substance. The first seven words that Brother Branham ever spoke, he said, "Now we're getting some new gadgets for recording." Now, I'm sure that Brother Branham did not know what he was saying, did not plan to say that. He had no idea the depth and the scope and the magnitude of that voice that was going to thunder out from him, and how it was going to reach all over the world, or how it was going to reach all over the world, because tape recorders was a brand new invention.
That's right.
It was, in fact, in those days, it was a little wireless recorder. Right. Then it went to the cassette. Then it went to the reel-to-reel. Then to the cassette. Now to the CD. Now I was a brother a while ago. He's got the whole message on his watch.
All right.
He just looks at his watch, speaks to it, and the watch. He tells the watch what message he wants to listen to.
All right. All right.
Now, Brother Jack, you're an IT man. You might be able to look into that kind of watch and see where that one comes from. But friends, this message, this is a supernatural multiplication of inspiration and revelation for communication. This message is the only thing in the world that sounds like it's too good to be true.
All right.
And yet we cannot even begin to plumb the depth of what God has done.
Amen.
And Brother Branham said, "I wonder if we are sufficiently impressed with what God has done in this generation." And then later he says, the reason that most people are not impressed is they don't get deep enough into the Spirit. When you look at the word supernatural, Brother Branham used that term 1,362 times. And in the beginning of his ministry, especially when he had just been visited by the angel of the Lord, who has told him, if you can get the people to believe, nothing will stand before you, not even cancer. So in the beginning, Brother Branham, he's so innocent, and he's saying, this is not me. He said, it's the supernatural being. And he uses that term over and over. Then he says, supernatural light, supernatural power, supernatural resource. And he's always pointing to the angel of the Lord. This is not me. This is not a man. You know, just before we came to the pulpit tonight, Brother Jack prayed a prayer that I always pray, and that is that a man would not be seen.
All right.
That only the Word, only Jesus Christ would be glorified. Because all we are, friend, we are just a little speck of dust that God has temporarily quickened.
All right.
And allowed us to live on this earth before our next journey. And so here we are. We have the most privileged people on the face of the earth to know what we know and see what we see and to hear what we hear. And Brother Branham said we should be the happiest people on earth. And that's my testimony tonight. I am the happiest man you have ever met in your entire life. So let's stand, and I'd like to invite you to look into, we're going to look at the book of 2 Peter, and we're going to start reading at chapter 1 and verse 1. And before we read, let's pray. Father, as we bow our heads tonight, close our eyes. In this unseen realm around us, we know that there are supernatural beings present right in this building tonight. And we know they are here to help out in the meetings. We pray that you would have your perfect will done. Pray that you would bless the speaker and the hearer. And let divine insight and wisdom strike the hearts of your children, myself also, that we may walk in the power of your resurrection. We ask this, Lord. We ask it with great humility, but also with great confidence, for we ask it in your precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. You know, anything that's going to happen in our lives, we'd like for it to be multiplied. Anything good. And so Peter is asking that grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power, not a natural power, not a human power, a divine power hath given unto us ALL, all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, you shall never fall. Right. Amen. God bless you, and you can have your seats. I am so thankful for the opportunity that I have had to meet men of God around the world. Just a little quick testimony. I started off as a young boy in the Roman Catholic Church. I went 9 years to Catholic school, 7 years as an altar boy, and I was as intoxicated with Roman Catholicism as anybody you could have ever met in your life. I was telling Brother Jack and Brother Quentin, my life as a young boy consisted of praying to Mary because we couldn't pray to Jesus. Saints, angels, holy water, candles, scapulars, novenas, all the doctrines of the system that the great whore wanted to instill in this young mind. And anybody who ever escapes from that, like myself, it is a miracle of God. And so then I backslid, and it's almost an oxymoron to say that you backslid from the highest form of spiritualism there is on planet Earth, but that's what Brother Branham said the Catholic system was. And I left a blizzard in 1973, and I arrived 24 hours later, I arrived in Daytona Beach, the week before the Daytona 500. And I didn't know what a Daytona 500 was because we only had demolition derbies and quarter milers. So 100,000 people descend on this little town, and the next week, here comes the bikers, and after that, spring break. And as a young boy backslid, you know, without knowing God, I thought I was in heaven. And I had no idea the depths of depravity that is surrounding that whole system. And so then in 1978, I had an experience with God in a Baptist church. Shortly after that, I went to the Assembly of God church. And then I got heavily involved with the Full Gospel Businessmen. Then I went to Bible school at Jim Baker's Bible School at PTL. And then I went to the United Pentecostal Church. And then to The Message. And I can tell you, it's like a religious merry-go-round, and I would not wish it on anybody. But I am so thankful that God allowed me to go there, because anytime I meet anybody from any one of those systems, I know right where to put my finger, right where to take them in the Scripture to know where they're wrong. Some of the systems, like Pentecost, I can say at one time your church had a standard. And they had a standard of holiness. Right. So let me ask you a question. Did they start wrong, or are they finishing wrong? Yeah. And it's a question you can ask of any of them, because they all had a standard at one time. Right. So then coming to The Message and coming into the knowledge, supernatural knowledge, I felt like here I was, I thought I knew something about the Bible. I graduated from Bible school, and I found myself right back in pre-kindergarten at the feet of a prophet. sitting there, and the supernatural, the drama all around me, and the romance, and the Bible becoming real. Brother Branham said, I'm a typologist, and any man who truly understands the Bible will be a typologist. And I have to confess, I graduated from Bible school. I did not know what a type was. I did not know what a shadow was. I knew about homiletics. I knew about hermeneutics. I knew all those things, but I knew nothing about the Word. And through time of studying this Bible, I came to a knowledge that this message, it is supernatural intelligence.
Amen.
A believer is a supernatural being with a divine purpose in their life.
Amen.
You're not a human being that's come down to have a spiritual experience. You're a supernatural being, and you've come down to have a human experience. And your mission and your mandate is to overcome this human experience. And Brother Branham talks about that God, is a triune being. And here we are. We live in a three-room house, like an egg. You can look at the egg, and on the outside is the shell. But by experience, we know that there is the egg white, and inside of that is the egg yolk. So when we break down this human experience, the first experience we have is a human experience.
Right.
Now, when I was in the business world, I studied inspiration. I studied motivation long before I ever became a Christian.
All right.
And so what I found out is that the mind is a tool with which we think.
Mm-hmm.
We think. And I studied about attitude. I studied about goal setting, interpersonal relationship.
Right.
I studied time management.
Yes.
And then when I came to the message, everything began to congeal around me. And as a result of traveling and studying human nature in the field of motivation and then in the ministry, I came to a revelation. And the revelation was, and I trust that this is something you can lock down in your life and share it with everybody that you know. And that is the most common form of addictive behavior in all of human nature is a negative attitude. I want to repeat that. The most common form of addictive behavior is a negative attitude. Now, where does this start? I drew a tree because when I came to this conclusion, I wanted to see it in the Word, and I wanted to see it in the message. And Brother Branham loved the word perfect, perfect love, perfect faith, perfect strength by perfect weakness. He loved that word perfect. I love one time where Brother Branham, he was talking about the atmosphere. He said, oh my, it's just perfect. No, it's beyond perfect. It's sublime. And so I studied that word perfect. And then I'm studying attitude. And so I just sat down and I wrote, in search of a perfect attitude. Now, we're not going to achieve that in this flesh, but that's our goal every day. Our goal is perfection. And so I started looking in the Bible. The Bible said, a righteous man is like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and everything that man does shall prosper.
Amen.
So I started thinking, well, what about an unrighteous man? Well, unrighteous man, they're like a tree planted by a sewer or a septic tank or a cesspool, and everything they do will be rotten and perverted and polluted.
Yeah.
So I had a brother. He was an artist. I said, Brother Charles, would you draw a tree? And in that tree, I want you to draw some big roots going into the ground, and then draw some big branches for some fruits going up there.
Right.
And so I started thinking, where does a negative attitude, the fruits of a negative person, where does it start? How does it come? And the first root that goes into the life of a negative man or a negative woman is the root of criticism. You know, I've never seen a statue or a monument erected to a critic. But to those that have been criticized, many monuments have been erected. Brother Branham said, if you're looking for something to criticize, don't worry, the devil will show you something. Yes. And so where does that root of criticism come from in a young person's life? Unfortunately, oftentimes it comes from dear old mom and dad. Because that little child is there and his mind is like a fertile bedding ground, and he hears mom and dad complaining about the neighbors and complaining about the boss and complaining about the taxes, complaining about everything and griping at each other.
Right.
And then unfortunately, some of them, they feed on television and they feed there, and the actors and the comedians and everybody, they learn how to criticize. And then they go into school, first grade, and they're already, you know, the bullies start ganging up. Somebody, maybe they're a little bit shorter or a little bit taller, or maybe they're heavier, or maybe they're thinner, or maybe they have glasses, and they become the picking stone. Everybody begins to pick on this little. And people learn to criticize. The next root after criticism is embedded in a person, the next root that goes down is the root of pessimism. A pessimist always sees the glass as half empty, where the optimist sees it as half full. So pessimism is a dark room where negativity is developed. Now, some young people, you may not know what a dark room was, but when we were growing up, we didn't have a cell phone that could take pictures. We had to buy film and put it in a camera and take the picture and take out the film and bring it over, and they would take that film and put it into a dark room, and then out come the picture from the negative. So pessimism is the dark room where negatives are developed. So from criticism to pessimism. The next root, these are all roots, they're attributes that goes down into the life and the nature and the character of a person. The next root that goes down is the root of skepticism. I'm skeptical. What's that guy up to? I'm going to want to watch that guy. Skepticism. And then right next to that is cynicism. Cynical. We're living in a cynical world. And for some reason, you know, you may have reason to be skeptical and cynical of anything you see, because the world, they can take anything they want and they can tie it together seamlessly and make things seem as if they're not. Make people say or do things they never did, but you would never know it. Because technology has moved up to that point. Now, the last root that goes down into the tree is the root of sarcasm. Anybody ever know somebody sarcastic? Yeah, they wake up in the morning and they have a big old industrial-sized pencil sharpener, and they take their tongue. And they sharpen up that tongue, and they go out and look for somebody to rip into. So now you've got the roots now. Criticism, pessimism, cynicism, skepticism, sarcasm, negative tree. It's on the way. Now, I know some of you think, well, Brother Ernie, this is all in the natural world. We're going to get to the supernatural. But, you know, we need to talk about our natural self first. I want to speak tonight about supernatural intelligence, okay? But now, from these roots that go into the tree, remember, a righteous man or an unrighteous man, now the fruits begin to come. The first fruit that comes to harvest in a negative person is the fruit of fear. Fear. F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. False education appearing real. or what most people do, forget everything and run. But what the bride does, face everything and rise. We rise to the occasion. The Bible said, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And Brother Branham said, this message came to take the fear off of the people. How many times we hear, hundreds of times in the Bible, fear not. Fear not. Let not your heart be troubled. God is in control. He is in time, on time, all the time. But people are fearful. How up to date is the message right to this hour, right to this minute? It used to be that when prophecy would come, we'd see it. You know, but year by year, we would see prophecy come into fulfillment. Then it seemed like it was month by month. Then it was like week by week. Then it was day by day. Now it's hour by hour. You never know what's going to take place from the last time that you looked at your phone and you saw what the news is. Today, the world has entered into a higher state of panic than they were yesterday.
That's right.
It's been declared a national emergency now. The bride's not in an emergency, but the bride should be in desperation. Not a desperation out of fear, but a desperation to know and serve and love God and to find His perfect will for our life. So fear, that's the first fruit that comes up out of the tree. The next fruit is the fruit of anger. We are living today in a day of rage. Road rage, air rage, boat rage, school rage, domestic rage. Every kind of rage you can think about. Everybody's outraged. I am outraged. Well, I'm outraged at the people who are outraged that I am not outraged. Anger. How many people right now are sitting, I call it the crowbar motel, sitting in jail right now because of one moment of unbridled anger and they pop somebody or they hit somebody, do something, they play the fool, and the next thing you know, here they are, manslaughter, 5 years, and they're sitting in the crowbar motel. How did I do that? Maybe never had a problem in their life, never had any issue with the law, but one moment of unbridled anger, and there they are. Anger is one letter short of danger. You put the D in front of anger, and you have danger, and the D is the devil. If the devil can anoint your anger, you are in danger. The Holy Ghost does not like that kind of a spirit. Brother Branham was talking about gossip. He said, now when you begin to gossip, just mark it down. The Holy Ghost has just left you. He can't stand that kind of a spirit. Now, he hasn't gone far away. He's just out. Just take his flight a little. How do you get him to come back? Just become a lamb again.
Amen. Amen.
Anger. Now, from the fear and the anger, the next one is one we all have to battle with. Procrastination. Procrastination is the assassination of motivation.
Lord Jesus.
There was a town right here in Florida. And this town, they had so many procrastinators in the town that they decided they were going to start a procrastinators club. But then they decided to wait. What do we do? Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Later. You children, when mom tells you, okay, it's time to wake up. Oh, Ma, can I sleep just a little while longer? Uh-oh, I think I hit somebody right there. Okay, time to clean up your room. Oh, can I do it later? Put things off. I like to do it now. Get it done. Do it now. Get it done. So, go real quickly now. Fear, anger, procrastination. The next one is anxiety. Anxiety. You know how many people are on anxiety and antidepressant medication today? And it has gone so crazy that people, they've all got their little service animals. You know, the one, and the soldiers come back with PTSD, and then you've got students in the college now, and I'm uncomfortable because somebody might come and speak, and I don't agree with them. And then, you know, in schools now, corporate America, if their employees get uncomfortable, they have a cry room. And they can go to their cry room. And they can go there and they can calm themselves down in the cry room. Listen, friends, you go to the airports nowadays, there are more dogs in the airport than is outside the airport. And they're in the airport, little dogs. And they're walking down there and they come up there and smell at you. And the people, and it's like their pride. They walk around with their pride. Now they have gone. I don't know if you ever saw Brother Jack. Did you see the ones that got their little horse on the plane with them? Anybody see that? Anybody? Yeah, they got these little miniature horses. And they're service animals. And the airlines have to let the people on the horse or on the plane with their horse. Because that's what keeps them calm. That's what keeps them from having a breakdown.
Lord Jesus.
Could you imagine if we ever had to send some of these young men, if ever a war broke out? Could you imagine having to go and fight Hitler? Or fight Mussolini? Could you imagine? They'd run for the border. North, south. It didn't matter. As long as they didn't have to go fight, they wouldn't get on the boat. They wouldn't get on the plane. Fear. Anxiety. Brother Branham said way back in the 50s, this is a neurotic age. Neurotic. Fearful. Upset. Unsure. Some people, they're so panic-stricken, they cannot even go out of their house. They're housebound. They can't even go out to check the mail. Fear, anger, procrastination, indecision, anxiety, and the last fruit is the fruit of depression. Many people today, as a result of all the roots that have gone into their life and all the fruits that are being manifested, they are in a deep, dark dungeon of desperation and depression and despondency and despair and disillusionment and doubt. And they are on a slow, silent, screaming slide into the bowels of ultimate despair. Now, that's the natural man. And the reason that God quickened that to me was in search of a perfect attitude, because we have the paradigm shift. We've gone from being that negative person to being the positive person. And the Holy Ghost has done that transformation in our life. The message has to produce a transformational attitude in our character, in our outlook, in our nature, in our mindset. So now let's talk about the human being. On the outside, on the shell, right here, on the shell right here, I have five gates. My eyes, my ears, my taste, my smell, and my touch. Brother Branham said, that's how we touch the outside world. That's how we contact the world around us. Now, not everybody has eyes. Be thankful for your eyes. Not everybody has ears. But you need to watch, friend. Today, you need to watch more than ever before what you allow to go into your eyes and what you go into your ears. Because you are just like Eve. You have been put here on free moral agency. God has put into your hands the power of choice. And you decide what you're going to allow, what you're going to read, what you're going to watch, what you're going to see. You know, right now today, friends, God has trusted you to overcome in this day, in the most wicked, perverted, deceptive age ever. And God has put right in my hands, right here, this is the modern tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just like Eve had it right in front of her. And you said, how could Eve have ever done what she did?
Oh my.
Well, how can some people do what they do? How can they look at what they look at?
That's right.
How can they listen to what they
listen to?
Brother.
Amen.
Your eyes, what a tool that God has given to us to be able to read the word, to be able to interact with believers.
Amen.
That we're able to interact. The eyes, what a jewel, what a treasure.
Amen.
I know people who are blind. One man in particular, he was blinded when he was a young boy by a gun accident. And I asked him, I said, Dick, what would it be like? This was way back in the 80s. I said, what would it be like if medical technology ever advanced to the point where you could see? And he said, well, Ernie, I'd love to be able to see. I've never seen my wife. I've never seen my children. I'd love to see the ocean again. I'd love to be able to see the blue skies and the moon and the stars. I'd love to be able to see the flower. And he named off all the things that he would love to be able to see. But he said, it would be a double-edged sword. Because now, because I don't have my vision, God has given me another sense. And I can feel people. And he said, I don't judge them by what they look like. I don't judge them by what color they are, or how big they are, or how small they are, or how old they are, or how young they are. I don't judge them. I just feel them. I can feel if this is a person I want to have as a part of my life. He said, but if I had my eyes back, I would be right back to humanity and I would prejudge people. I would judge the book by the outside of the cover and I would never even take time to see what was inside that person. So eyes, this is a visual age that we're living in. Satan, he's got all his dazzle, all his tinsel that he wants to put in front of you. Television and movies. And all the go shopping, and you want to see all the things in the store. Hearing. You know, today, the world is dancing to the beat of Satan's music.
Right.
It used to be back in the early 1900s, it was the days of jazz. Then it went to Frank Sinatra. Then it went to the Beatles. And Brother Branham said, the Beatles. And I know I'm dating myself. The Beatles came right out of the pit of hell. Then it went to jazz. And from jazz to rock. And then from rock to hip-hop. And all the... I wonder if Brother Branham said the Beatles came out of the pit of hell. What would he say about some of these rap stars today? And I know I meet believers say, well, you know, I only listen to Christian rock.
What?
Let me tell you, friends, there is no such thing as Christian rock.
All right.
Now, I believe in rock and roll.
Right.
I'm standing on the rock and my name's on the roll. That's the kind of rock and roll that I believe in. But these eyes and these ears are not meant to entertain Satan's kingdom, Satan's Eden, Jezebel religion, the god of this evil age, the anointed ones at the end time. They want to attract your attention, and Satan is a good adversary. And Brother Branham said in the greatest battle ever fought, he not all in one sentence, but here's what he said throughout that book about the devil. He said, cut him, chop him, whack him. Slice him. Maim him.
Amen.
Kick him out.
Yeah.
Kill him.
Right.
Don't go after him with the .22. Drop the atomic bomb right at the beginning.
That's
Drop the word. Thus saith the Lord. Drop it on them. Right at the beginning. When I wake up in the morning, friends, I know there's got to be two deaths. I got to die, and the devil's got to die. First thing in the morning. Find the yapping dog. Shut him up. Tell him he has no authority here. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. He hates the name of Jesus. He hates prayer. He hates praise. He hates a righteous life. So eyes and ears. Very precious commodities, but very, very deceitful in this day that we are living in. You know, the 1900s, that was the first age that they even had moving, like movies. And in the beginning, they didn't even have a sound. They just had people walking around. They're like Charlie Chaplin walking, and people were enthralled in them. Oh. And then when they added sound to it, then when they added color to it, now they got all the bells and the whistles. Television became hellavision.
Right. That's right.
And now Hollywood. Oh, my. People, they look at the stars, and they worship the stars. TV stars, movie stars, sports stars. Oh, my, sports star. You mean that guy can take that little ball? He's 7 feet tall. And do you mean that guy can put that little orange thing in the basket and he can run down there like he just conquered the whole world? And the people, oh, my, millions of them. Oh, bow down. The king reigns. Friends, the same demons that were in the Roman Colosseum, the same demons that were in the Greek Olympiads, are the same demons that are in our athletes all around the world. Whether it's soccer or cricket or tennis, whatever it is, baseball, basketball, football, same demons. But now they got a worldwide stage. Now they can get in that flesh. Now they can jump and move. Oh, I can't believe a man could ever do something like that. The demons know their moves are being streamed around the world and people are bowing down.
Wow.
Eyes. And the rock stars and the movie star and all the stars. When I was growing up, if somebody was a star, that was a great thing. Then they had to be a superstar. Now they got to be a megastar.
Right.
But they're stars, but they're fallen stars.
All right.
And the people are worshiping the fallen stars. They cannot take their eyes off of them. What's the world going to do as of this week with no more basketball?
Right,
no more baseball? In Canada, up where I live, hockey is like a religion up there. What are they going to do? Now they've canceled the Masters. And the only one that I know they haven't canceled is NASCAR. But they're going to run with no fans in the stands. But the cars are still going to go around and around and around and around. And people will be enthralled and hope for a crash. What we see, what we hear, watch what goes into your eyes and your ears, because once you make the choice to allow something into your eyes or ears, it makes an instantaneous journey to your mind. And there in your mind is produced a thought. And thoughts become words. Words produce action. Actions form habits. Habits produces character. And character determines your destiny. Where does it start? By? What did Eve do? She stopped. Stopped for a second. She saw. And she heard. And look at the result of humanity because she stopped. Just for a moment. Eyes, ears. Now, the next two, I'm not going to talk much about our taste and our smell. But, I love to smell good food. And I love to taste good food. And a lot of times, I just eat and eat and eat and eat, and I go to the buffet and I get myself in trouble. If it smells good, we want to smell it. If it tastes good, we want to taste it and taste it and taste it and taste it. And I found myself sometimes digging my grave with my teeth.
My God.
But just like your eyes and your ears, they are individual and separate from each other. Some people are blind, but they can hear. Some people can hear, but they're blind. And your taste and your smell. You know, some people, they don't have taste buds.
Right.
Everything tastes the same because of medication or whatever. Some people cannot smell. And the last one on our outside, on our flesh, our fifth realm is touch. And we are living in a touchy-feely generation. I know people, they're broke, but they go to the store and they want to touch everything. They want to go shopping. They want to feel the fur. They want to go, they want to feel the nice comfort. They want to feel everything. They want to see it and they want to touch it. And then in the world, and people, they want to touch this one and then touch that one and touch this one and touch that one. When I was a boy, up until the time I was 12 years old, my whole life was baseball, basketball, and football. We did not want any girls around. Get those girls out of here. What are they doing around here? Get them out. The next year, 13 years old, I'm slicking down my hair, putting some brute cologne on there, you know. And what happened? I discovered the girl, and the girls discovered the boys. And I'll get into this a little bit later. I'll get into my touch experience. But I was in the eighth grade, and I fell in love. A little blonde girl over there, I mean, she was it. Could not take my eyes off of her. And one day I got up enough nerve, and I said, could I walk you home from school? And I sat there, and it felt like my whole world was going to end if she said no. But she said, okay. And I walked her home. It was like heaven. And it was a long way that she lived from where I didn't care. The longer, the better. And I just thought, oh, I'm going to get married. We're going to, I'm going to have babies, going to have kids, going to live happily ever after. You know, they say life is one fool thing after another. And puppy love is two fool things chasing each other. And that's what I was. I was in puppy love. Everything was going well. And then one day I got up enough nerve and I took my hand and I reached out my hand and I took a hold of her hand. Again, thinking my whole world was going to end if she pulled it away, but she didn't. And I held her hand. Oh my, it was like sparks going through me. Oh, held her hand. Oh, that sensation of touch. And we walked and we held and we walked and we held. I'll get into the remainder of that story in a little bit. But that's how we are. Eyes, ears, taste, smell, touch. We all use them to contact the world around us. Now, you see, that is not a holy realm. The realm of your physical, of your flesh, it's not a holy realm. It's not an eternal realm. In fact, you are only as safe as the realm that you choose to dwell in. And if you choose to live in the physical and that becomes your absolute, you will die. Because one day, if we go the way of the grave, as soon as we breathe our last breath, the skin worms that are inside of us, they get quickened and they begin to eat. And they begin to eat your tongue and your toes and your nose and your liver and your kidneys until finally we're all gone. And then all we are is bone and the bones just fade to dust. You know, every person that's ever lived, no matter how strong or how beautiful or how handsome or how talented they are, at the end, God wins every time. At the end, God is the winner. You may see people, the world wants to take the young, they want to parade them, Because the world worships youth. Maybe a man is strong, muscle guy, handsome. Or a girl is young and she's beautiful. The world, what they call beautiful. But maybe you're like me. Maybe, you know, you're getting up in years and you know, maybe not so strong anymore. Or maybe the women, you know, maybe they have some children and, you know, and we get all over in years and then the bags start to come and the sags start to come.
All right.
And we look at ourselves and we say, I'm not what I used to be. Well, what we got to do, friend, we have to look at ourselves through the eyes of God. And for that young, strong, handsome man the world beats a path to, if they're not saved, they have an ugly soul. And a woman, no matter how beautiful that woman is, if she's not a child of God, that soul is not pleasing in the eyes of God. But no matter how old we are, or how wrinkled or baggy we get, in the eyes of God, we are beautiful. The bride of Jesus Christ, without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. So, that's the end of the physical for now. But now we go into our emotional or our spiritual realm. And just like our physical that has our eyes, ears, taste, touch, smell, our emotional or our spirit, we also have five departments.
Yes.
Our conscience, our memory, our imagination, our reasoning, and our affections. So let's start with our conscience. I pray tonight that every one of us will have an up-to-date revelation of sanctification and the sea of God's forgetfulness and justification. In God's eyes, it's just as if you never did it in the first place. Now, if Satan can have his way, he'll rule in the conscience and he will bring guilt and shame and condemnation and regret. And if you allow Satan to rule in that realm of your conscience and he begins to beat you and beat you and beat you and beat you, maybe you confess the same sin over and over and over and over and over, because Satan is successful to come around and planting all those unholy ideas in your mind. I don't want Martin Luther's kind of justification. I want Elijah's kind of justification. In the eyes of God, we never did it in the first place. There's two things I found, Brother Jack, that God cannot do. Number one, he cannot fail. And number two, he cannot find sin that has been confessed sincerely and is under the blood of Jesus Christ. God cannot find that sin.
Amen.
Impossible. It is in the sea of God's forgetfulness as far as the east is from the west. In God's eyes, you never did it in the first place. What a victory that is, friends. What a treasure God has given us in this day. If you can believe it. That's one of the greatest victories in this day, is to believe what the Word has said about you.
Amen.
And about the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And we see today many people trampling over the blood of Jesus Christ on a continual basis. So, your conscience. Now, you either get victory or you're defeated.
Yes.
One or the other. Now, next is your memory. And again, the enemy works overtime, wants to bring up all the past, like a dredge. I used to live on a river, the Providence River, and they were trying to reclaim the ground. And they used to have these dredges, and they would go down into the muck, maybe 30 feet deep, and they would bring up dirty old mud that hadn't seen the light of day for 30 years. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to go into your mind and he wants to dredge up the sin of your past. And he wants to have it. He wants to shine it on you and make you believe that God never forgave you. God doesn't want you. God could never forgive a sinner like you. So we either accept the devil's verdict, or you can do what a real believer does, and that is they use their memory to remember your future.
Amen.
You say, well, how do you do that? How do you remember your future? Well, I've got a book that says the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. So I remember my future. And anytime the enemy tries to go dredging around in my memory, I change the page and I point him to the future home of the heavenly bride and bridegroom. And God measured it out for, described it in perfection. So we'll go quickly now. Conscience, memory. Next, remember, each one separate. Your conscience and your memory, two different departments. Next one, your imagination. Satan in this day rules in a man, a woman's mind in a fantasy world. Shows that, you know, when I moved to Orlando, Walt Disney was digging the ground for Disney World. And Walt Disney, he mastered animation. They took all these pictures and they speeded them up. And next thing, you had cartoons. Mickey Mouse and Daffy Duck and Don, all these cartoons. That was animation. That was natural animation. But God in this day allows you to have supernatural animation. And in my mind is a station of creation. In my imagination, it is my dream machine of excitement and enchantment and ecstasy. Right here, in my imagination. Wow. You know, it used to be that they used to have submarines. And when the submarine, you know about this, Brother Quentin, when it was under the water, that captain, he'd say, upscope. And that periscope would go up above the water, and that had 360 degrees. He could see everything. And he ships up there, and he land up there. Well, God allows us to take that station of creation in our imagination, and we can go above that, and we can look in the Word and see what the Word has to say about us.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Where Satan has got people bound. They're prisoners. They can't live without it. They can't live without their music. They can't live without television. They can't live without video. They can't live without their cell phone. People say, oh, well, my Johnny, maybe he's 15 years, my Johnny's in bed. He's home safe. He's okay. Yeah, Johnny, he might be surfing the world. He might be having friends in Australia and Europe. He's just surfing the world. I cannot even imagine what kind of trouble I would have got into if I had one of these things when I was 15 years old. Imagination. Station of creation. In your imagination. But it's got to be your choice. You have to be able to fine tune. You have to be able to tune in to channel supernatural. It's like if you had a shortwave radio here, real heavy duty, fine tune. You could take that and you could tune that dial. You could hear hundreds of voices. You could tune in all over the world. Brother Ram said many voices in the world today want your attention. They want your eyes. They want your ears. They want your conscience. They want your memory. They want your imagination. Fantasy world. Satan's Eden. But if you turn the channel to channel supernatural, God will show you things. The Bible said eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. The mind of man has not even begun to imagine the things that God has for those that love him and are called together for his purpose. Now, the next one. That's the realm of reasoning. My, what a deceptive realm reasoning is. People want to figure everything out. I got to understand. If I don't understand it, I'm not going to believe it. Brother Brown said, you can't understand God.
Amen.
With our finite mind, how are we going to understand an infinite God? A God that said, let there be. You know, many people today, they are worshiping a man of 2,000 years ago that led a good life and he died on the cross, and they have an empathy, they have a sympathy, and that's their idea of God. Hey, when Jesus, when he resurrected, he went right back and he was the one that spoke the whole world into existence.
Amen.
That's the God that we serve.
Amen.
The God of the supernatural. A while ago, there was an illustration given. Satan was having his convention, and his demon come on and said, what's your greatest weapon? You have lust, and you have drugs, and you have all these alcohol. What's your greatest weapon to deceive men? He said, yeah, those are all my great weapons, but I'll show you my greatest weapon. And he reached over, and he opened up a little case. He said, see that right there? He said, that's my wedge of doubt. And if I can plant this wedge of doubt in a man or a woman's mind, I've got him. Why? People have to reason everything out. Oh my, I've watched so many people I've walked with for 30 plus years, and I've watched the enemy go there and plant that realm of doubt in their mind, that realm of reasoning in their mind, and they reason themselves right out of the greatest treasure that God has ever sent to man. You know, friends, watching this and observing this and praying about it, what I found when the message comes, and Brother Jack has seen it many times, when the message comes to a man or a woman's life, it comes supernaturally. And what I have observed, when it leaves just as supernaturally. It's gone. The man that you thought you knew, the man that preached, the man you went with, the man you travel with, that man is not there anymore. The revelation is gone. God is gone. And they become scoffers and mockers. Why? The realm of reasoning. Satan come in there and reason them. Just like he reasoned Eve out of her position, Satan in this day is reasoning hundreds and even thousands out of their position, because they sat and they looked. They were curious. Oh, what do they say? How come? What does the Bible say? Very simply, cast down reason. Amen. Cast down memory. Cast down imagination. Cast down everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Amen. Now we go down to the last one, and we won't be very much longer. The last one in our emotional, our spiritual realm, that is the realm of our affections. We all have affections. Parents have affections for their children. Children have affections. Brothers, sisters, friends, neighbor, we live in our affection. We either like somebody or we don't like somebody. The affections, they rule our life. Now I want to go back to my little girlfriend at 13 years old. Oh, everything was fine, walking down the street, holding hands. And then one day she said, Ernie, I need to talk to you. I said, yeah? How? What is it? She said, well, she said, I don't want to be your girlfriend anymore. I said, what? It was like if there was a ground, a hole in the ground, I would have crawled right in that ground. I said, what? You're not going to be my boyfriend anymore. I don't want you to walk me home anymore. Oh, my. It was like a dart right to my heart. And then she dropped the bomb. She said, I like somebody else. Oh. I mean, just chop my head off. Just take me out right now. I don't even know how I got home that day. But I do know when I got home, I went to my bedroom, and I shut the door, and I turned out the lights, and I sat and I cried and cried. I didn't want to eat. I couldn't sleep. I didn't want to talk to nobody. Why? She was the one. Never going to be the same. You don't like me anymore. And I cried. I had a first-class pity party, poor me party, woe is me party. It seemed like it was never going to be the same. Now, as silly as that sounds, friends, that goes on every day, millions of times around the world. Now, maybe it's not a boyfriend, girlfriend. It might be a husband, wife. It might be a child that breaks a parent's heart. It might be parents that break the children's heart. It might be an employee, employer. It might be a friend. But the emotional realm, when it's broken, it's just like somebody took a rock and threw that rock into a plate glass window and it just shattered. And it feels like your heart can never, ever, ever be put back together again. the realm of our affections. Cast down memory. Cast down affection. Cast down everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Set your affections on things that are above. I am so busy wondering and loving and admiring and worshiping God, I don't have time to be disappointed. I don't have time to be... I'm too blessed to be stressed.
Amen. That's right.
Nobody's going to put me on the treadmill. Nobody's going to put me on the stress express. And don't let anybody put you on the stress because your emotions. Well, I feel good today. Well, I don't feel so good today. What does feelings have to do with anything when you've got a revelation?
Amen.
It doesn't matter. You know, the sunshine. I was at the beach a while ago. I just had to see Daytona Beach. And I went there and I saw the same sun that I saw rise way back in 1973. That sun has risen every day on the just and on the unjust.
All right.
And it sets every day.
Amen.
And the moon comes up and the stars are out there. What doesn't change? Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. So we set our affections on things above. Now, again, physical realm, it's not a holy realm. It's not an eternal realm. And your emotional, your spiritual realm, it's not an eternal realm. And it's not a holy realm. And if you set your affections on the spirit, the emotions, you will die. And all Satan's got, he doesn't have to get you on all those. He can get you just your eyes or just your ears. Or he can get you with your touch. Or he can get your conscience or your memory or your imagination or your reason or your affections. He is a full-time devil. And you cannot defeat the full-time devil being a part-time Christian. He's a good adversary, friends.
Amen.
We need to know our enemy. Study your enemy. Now we come down. Just closing now. The realm now, like the egg, you have the shell and the egg white, but then the egg yolk. A human being, we have our physical, and then we have our emotional. But on the inside of the inside, that's our soul. And in the soul right now, either is ruling the Holy Ghost or Satan is ruling. Now, he's not ruling full-time permanently in some people's life, but he is ruling there right now, today, because it's either the dove of God or the serpent that is controlling that spiritual realm, the physical realm. But it all starts with the soul. Your soul is the Holy of Holies. That's the God-shaped chamber that God wants to rule in, God wants to live in. Brother Branham calls it the control tower. And if the Holy Ghost is ruling in your soul, anything that comes up, if the devil tries to attack your eyes or your ears or your taste or your touch, your smell, the Holy Ghost can come, say, not today, devil, never, devil. Cast them down. If he comes to your conscience or your memory or your imagination, he puts temptation in front of you, you can turn your head. A Christian can turn her head away. Why would a person ever settle for some kind of temporary, selfish pleasure, gratification, and lose eternity? It's not that they can lose it. If they do, they never had it in the first place. But that's the prize that were put before us, eternal life. God wants everybody to be saved. But because of foreknowledge and predestination, he knows who will and he knows who won't. Just like he knew, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Why did he hate Esau before he was ever born? Because he was a compromiser. He compromised. He sold out his birthright for a mess of pottage. And so here we are today in search of that perfect supernatural attitude. What kind of a life do we have? what kind of roots are going down into our life. We know the negative man, he's got criticism, pessimism, cynicism, skepticism, sarcasm, but the stature of the man, the stature of a perfect man is faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and the capstone of love comes in. That's our goal, friends. Without perfect love, nobody will go in a rapture.
Right.
That must be our goal, our magnificent obsession every day. I must love. Jesus said, love your enemies.
Right.
Can you let that sink in, friend? Love our enemy. We can't even love our brothers and our sisters sometimes. And we're supposed to love our enemies. So, if we live in that realm of the soul and the Holy Ghost is in there, you're not going to have fear, anger, procrastination, anxiety, and depression. You're going to have the fruits of the Spirit. So, it's either a righteous man is coming to harvest or the unrighteous man, the positive person or the negative person.
Right.
And again, as we stand to our feet, it's God that puts that choice in front of each one of us every day when we open our eyes. We don't say, oh, God, it's morning. No, we say, good morning, God. Some people say, oh, my alarm. I don't have an alarm clock. I have an opportunity clock. I have an electronic rooster.
Yeah.
And that electronic rooster wakes me up. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's a decision that you make or a decision that you don't make. As we bow our heads and our hearts tonight, Lord, we thank you for each one of my brothers and sisters that has made their way to the house of God tonight. We thank you for Brother Jack and his family and what you're doing here in West Palm Beach. I pray, Lord, that a great revival would strike the heart of each one of your children, that they might recognize who they are. They may be able to see themselves through your eyes, to see the prize that they are, to see that they are the victory over the enemy in this generation. Give them eyes to see and ears to hear. Give them a heart that wants to know you and love you and serve you. I'm going to ask, we're going to sing a song, and I'm going to ask Brother Jack to come, but I'm going to ask you tonight, before I even ask, my eyes are closed and my hands are both up, but I'm going to ask you tonight, if you say, Lord, I want you, I invite you tonight to come and rule in my soul tonight. I invite the Holy Ghost in. I invite him to take complete authority, like the captain on the ocean shore. That boat may go up and down, but that boat, it crests every wave. And a son or daughter of God, we crest every wave because you are the captain in our ship. You are the Holy Ghost in our control tower, that we may live and reign and rule with you throughout all eternity. If that would be your prayer tonight, that you want God to take up full-time residence and give over every area of your physical, every area of your emotional, and say, Father, I give it to you. Live through me, I pray. We ask this. Though if those hands were raised tonight, Father, I pray that you would move upon them right now and through the remainder of the evening and into the weekend, Father, and into the rest of our life, facing a time, Lord, where the world is in anxiety and the world is in fear, the world's in desperation, but we are anchored in Christ, anchored to the Rock of Ages. Amen. Do we sing that song, Rock of Ages? Rock of Ages, let's sing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. He is the rock. He is the rock of revelation. And when I was a Catholic boy, we thought that Peter was the rock. Peter was the rock the church was built upon. Yeah, Peter, he was the first. Peter never even went to Rome. How did he become the first pope in Rome? And the priest not supposed to marry. Why did Jesus pray for Peter's mother-in-law? There's so many paradoxes in there, but we know the rock of revelation. That rock of revelation, it will stabilize you. It will hold you. It will make you solid. It'll make you firm. It'll make you fair. It'll make you friendly. It'll create an atmosphere around you that will draw others to you. I pray tonight you would manifest that ability to create a clean heart and let the rock of ages cleft for you. Amen. Father, if any raise their hand tonight, I pray, Lord, a special anointing upon them as we sing this song. Amen. Brother Jack.
Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide where the water and the blood from thy womb, its side which flowed, be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Nothing in simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Just bless, amen, from the word of the Lord. Supernatural intelligence. Precious Brother Ernie spoke to us, and I'm just going through the negative tree, the roots that take down. These are things that we don't want to see. Criticism, pessimism, skepticism, cynicism, sarcasm. We start seeing things like that manifest in our lives, we know something's gone wrong somewhere. The fruits that come from, amen, a tree of that nature would be a fear, anger, procrastination, anxiety, which leads you to depression. Amen. Let's say the devil's a liar, and I won't have any of that in my. I won't have any of that manifesting in or through me. And, you know, I was today reading just a little something that somebody wrote, and it pays just to read the word. It pays just to listen to the word. You may not realize it, but the word washes you. The word changes you. The word transforms you. The word makes you a different person. Amen. And as I was reading, amen, this little statement that somebody had made, and they were talking about how Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because he just did not like the people of Nineveh. And as he didn't want to go, he was pretty much, you know, it's like sometimes things happen in our life, and our prayers, God, get them. They did this to me. God, get them. God, do this. And that's the wrong attitude.
Right.
Amen. We want to pray, God, forgive them. God, save them. That's what Jesus did, right? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And as I was just reading that thought, I say, oh, my. I thought about the gentlemen that were used to put me where I am today through their decisions. Amen. And I say, Lord, you know, them men had to make some hard decisions. But, God, I want to pray for their families. I want to pray that you'll bless them. I want to pray that you'll help them. Whatever they might be going through, God, be with them. They made some hard decisions, but, God, I can look back now and realize that the decisions they made helped push me to where you wanted me to be. Rather than have a heart of stone, man, have this anger, have this, amen, this anxiety and depression and all of that. No. God, help me to have love and joy and peace Amen. Help me to manifest what you manifested. Amen. God's calling us to that. Supernatural intelligence. Amen. I pray this won't be a word that we just heard tonight. Let it go in one ear and out the other, but I pray to be a manifestation in our lives. Thank God for the word of the Lord tonight. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are just so appreciative of what we've heard here tonight. These are words that could transform our lives. And God, as we would just sit and meditate on what your minister has shared with us, as we would leave here and just maybe go and think about it and process it and talk about it, Lord, just fellowship around it. Lord, let the word just continue to make a difference in our lives. If we see the negative fruit, Lord, from negative roots that are driven down, God, may we realize that we could come to you through repentance, Lord, and see things reversed. We don't want the nature of that snake on the inside. We want the nature of the dove, the Holy Spirit, to have its way inside of us. Father, this is how we overcome. So, Lord, I just pray that, Father, we would really, really take to heart what has been brought to us from heaven tonight. Thank you for using our precious brother, Villanueva. Lord, I just pray that you bless him and return all back to him that he gave to us tonight. Father, as the saints prepare to leave this place, but not your presence, go with us. Keep us, Lord, until we're able to meet here again. Be glorified and magnified, Lord, in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord another hand of praise? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord bless you. You can be seated. We will, amen, prepare to dismiss you tonight. We'll be back on Sunday morning, amen, for a regular time of Sunday school and prayer, amen, and service. Brother Ernie will be preaching for us again, so keep him in prayer that the Lord will just use him as he comes to speak to our hearts. God bless you.